Right, well, good morning, everyone. I'm Jeff Calvert, and I'm the IT manager at the Oxford University Centre for the Environment. I've been doing the job for about a year now. One of my briefs was to look at how we reduce the power consumption of the IT facilities. So an early question when I took the job over was this. What do you do when you inherit a system that's designed to run 24 hours a day? Well, it's not necessarily designed, but actually implemented to run 24 hours a day. There's a culture that all machines will be left on all the time. First thing was to look at why this was the case. Why were the machines left running? Previous IT manager was a bit odd, and he had some interesting views, but he's gone now, so I didn't have to worry about him. Most of these issues here have been already covered briefly by some of the other speakers. But first one is security updates. We used to have virus scans run at night, Microsoft updates run at night, and part of the reason for this is that end users don't like their machines being interfered with during the day when they're working. If they get a machine saying, I'm shutting down now because I've just installed Bill Gates' new patch, they're not very happy with us. And so this is partly why these things were done at night. Long startup times. We're not a rich department, and we've got a very aging stock of PCs. And some of the older PCs can take an awful long time to start up in the morning. In some instances, even 15 or 20 minutes. Obviously, that's an issue which should be addressed anyway. But quite a lot of people are very reluctant to turn their machines off at night because they don't want to come in the morning and sit there watching the machine start up for 15 minutes or so. Remote management. If you've got various buildings around Oxford in your department and you want to use remote desktop or VNC to do some management on it, it's not terribly convenient if the machine's switched off. If it's a nice day like today, then cycling across Oxford is quite an interesting experience, but it doesn't really help you do the job. And so you can always ring up someone in the department, ask them to find the PC and switch it on for you, or you can leave it on all the time, in which case you have access all the time. Backups, again, as has been mentioned, backups tend to run at night, and so obviously you need to leave machines running for that. There's also a school of thought that says that machines which are repeatedly power cycled fail much quicker than ones which aren't. But I couldn't possibly comment on that. So why might we want to turn machines off? First one is to save electricity. Now, when I first wrote this slide, I said, I wrote save money. And this is probably going to be the case, but not necessarily. If we have to cater for all the issues I've talked about why we left machines switched on, it's plausible that you may have extra costs by turning the machines off. Perhaps you might need to employ another member of IT staff to apply the updates during the day. So although saving electricity is probably a good thing these days, and I should be saying yes, it is definitely a good thing these days, saving money is not always necessarily the case. The green image, the Oxford Centre for the Environment, ought really to be projecting a green image. And so, as I think was mentioned earlier, when researchers are going to conferences and saying, yes, turn everything off, save the planet, but yes, I know I do leave my PC on 24 hours a day, but that's the way we do it here. And again, there's some schools of thought which say that not using things, not wearing them out, makes them more reliable. But again, I couldn't really possibly comment on this one. Wake on LAN, Kang's talked about this. Is it the ultimate panacea? I'd say no. It's simply one tool in the arsenal of both technical options and policy options that we have. And although the centralised wall is a very useful tool for us, it doesn't necessarily address all the options. What I'm going to do now is briefly go through how we get... We've talked about why machines were left on. So I want to look at now is how, in our department, we're getting around having machines switched off. Security updates, as I say, people don't like them happening during the night. One option is, as I say, is to employ additional staff to put the updates on during the day. But of course, you've got to kick users off to do that some of the time, and they don't like that. Microsoft provides the WSIS server. There's various other options as well. These are the only ones I could think of. The WSIS server can push Microsoft updates out. But we happen to be using the Altiris notification server, which allows us to push both Microsoft updates out to machines and also do various software installations and such like. It has its own wake on LAN capability, so we don't necessarily need a centralized service to be able to use this. The benefit of that is that we can now use Altiris during the night to apply updates without machines being left on. Altiris can wake the machines up, put the updates on, but what it doesn't do is shut the machines down afterwards. So if you put an update on at midnight, the machine's going to be running for the rest of the night. Long startup times. As I mentioned earlier, some machines take an awful long time to start up, and reinstalling Windows would probably solve a lot of the problems, seeing Windows tends to bloat up the longer you use it. But the central service does give us another option here, whereby you can set a machine to wake up at a certain time during the day. So if you know you're going to be in at 8:30, then get your machine to come on at, say, 8 o'clock every morning. Quite a useful facility, this. You can choose which days you want it to come on. So you can, if you don't work weekends, then you can tell it not to. I suppose a nice enhancement to this would be to have the option to have a different time for each day of the week and such like. Basically, it does a useful thing. My machine now comes on and it's ready for me in the morning. What this doesn't get around, though, is a very long log-on time for people. But there's not much that Wake on LAN can do about that. Backups. Again, as I say, backups tend to run during the night. There's an option in the central service at Oxford now for the backup service itself to wake up a particular machine on the correct night for the backup. And I believe that the backup service can shut a machine down once it's finished, but I haven't actually tried that myself yet. I mentioned about PCs in other buildings. Kang has shown us this before as well. Remote wake up. You can choose a particular machine to be woken up. You can log on to it, do your IT management stuff, and then you can shut it down yourself afterwards. So, how did I actually get shut down working? We've got the tools here to wake machines up. We've looked at how we can get around the issues of why machines are left on. But how do we actually make people do it? How do we actually get it working in the department? My first approach was to appeal to the sort of green people in the department by sending them an email. Now, I'm not going to read through all this for you. It's a long, probably boring email. But I appealed initially to two aspects. Firstly, there's the cost-saving aspect, which ought to help the department. And secondly, there's to their sort of moral obligation to the Centre for the Environment to do so. And then I included various reasons as to why it hadn't been done before and what we've done to get over those issues. And it's interesting, I did get some very positive responses to this email, particularly the environmental researcher said, yes, at last this department is doing something about what it's preaching. Next issue was, we've told people they can shut the machines down, but a lot of them aren't going to do it. They're going to forget that perhaps they've got good reasons to do so. So we looked at various automated or methods that we could control to shut the machines down. We looked at standby and hibernate. Either we just didn't know how to do it properly or it doesn't actually work. But we found standby, we couldn't get machines to wake up using the wake on LAN packets. So if a machine went down, it was going to stay down until someone went and poked a button on it. Hibernate, again, we looked at. Both are good low-energy methods to put the machine in. With Hibernate, we found issues whereby if people had files open on the network, they didn't always recover correctly when the machine came back on. It's supposed to recover, but we found it didn't. So we were very reluctant to force shutdowns on people when they were logged on and may have files open. We then found, I discovered, a real little nugget. It's quite a simple little thing. I won't say too much about it because the lady who wrote it is here and is going to be speaking this afternoon. But it's based just a little DOS batch file, which uses two little free utilities from Microsoft, which we've put on a number of our machines now. It runs as a scheduled task and executes when Windows deems that the machine has been idle for a controller or a specified period of time, which we can specify. And that's fine. It runs when users are logged on, when they're not logged on. But the next thing it does is then check if a user's logged onto the machine or not. And if people are not logged on, it will then shut the machine down. So we've gone for a fairly conservative approach on the shutdown, that we're not going to shut machines down when people are logged on. And we're going to give it a bit of idle time, so if someone's just logged off and come back in, the machine's not going to go. And this script does work very well for our situation. We trialled it in our public computer room, and you could watch the machines going up and down all the day. The students would come in, work on the machine, you'd watch a bit late, and it'd be down again. So that's been a real godsend to us. I don't know where Lisa Nelson is, but all right. Well, thank you for that. We had to tweak it slightly for our situation, but it's not a great deal to it, really. So we've got to the stage now where we've got the tools, we've got the policies, but how do we know it's working? You can tell people, and they say it's a brilliant idea, but unless you can actually see what's going on, you can't prove you're doing anything. Kang's shown us this sort of five-finger graph here. Earlier, and this is it's good for a generic sort of management overview. It shows you how many nodes are on, how many nodes are off over history. You can compare it to last week, last month, whatever, and see whether you're improving or not. But from an IT manager's point of view, it doesn't actually help me to tell me which machines are being left on. Who do I need to go and poke with a big stick? Daniel Curtis wrote a similar thing for our a similar thing for our department. The previous graph monitored the total number of nodes. This graph monitors, again, you can see the very classic sort of five-finger pattern of the weekdays. This monitors the power consumption over time. And again, very good for management overviews. You can look at now and last year and see we haven't actually improved at all in a year. But again, from an IT manager's perspective, it still doesn't do what I want. Now, we were already using the Nagios open source software for managing our servers, so we thought it was worth having a look at using it for managing our PCs. Right, so not a very sort of glossy interface or anything, but this shows a number of our PCs in the department. If the machine is green, it's on. If it's red, it's off. So you can start getting an idea. And this is what we use to look at our public computer rooms when we first put the shutdown service on. I wouldn't quite sit there all day long just watching this, but it was interesting to sort of see the machines coming up and going down all day long. So that's fine if you've got loads of IT staff and someone can sit there and watch this and sort of check what's going on. But what I really need is the ability to have historical data from this. We found another open source add-on for Nagios called PNP for Nagios. And this allows you to have a little pop-up. You move the mouse up and down here, and a little pop-up graph appears for every node as you come over it. Ping is a good method to check if a machine's on or off. If it pings and gets a response, it's on. If it doesn't, it's off. This is a classic example of where we were a year ago and where a lot of our machines are still at the moment. The numbers down here are the dates in May, and the graph shows that it's getting a ping response. So therefore, this machine is on all the time. It's quite an interesting... The height of the graph is irrelevant. The fact that it's pinging means... If I go on to the next slide, actually, this will be a bit more clear. This is a machine which is switched off during the night. It's switched on during the day, switched off during the night, and switched off at weekends. And so you can see the difference there. Using ping is incidental, really. The height of the graph is incidental. It's the fact that there is something here or nothing here which tells you if the machine is on or off. If you look at the two machines, the two graphs next to each other, you can see what we're really trying to achieve. That's bad, this is good. And this, I've only really just got this working in the past couple of weeks. So my next task for my section is to start finding these users and visit them and educate them. quite coincidentally, the colouring on this graph is quite, I think, a good marketing tool for this. If you show someone that and says, that's your machine, it should be looking like this. The colours of fire are sort of quite reminiscent of sort of bushfires raging through the world and causing climate change. So that's where we are at the moment. To say we've got to the stage where we've got the tools, we've got the monitoring tools now, and the next job really is just to go out there and basically kick the users. Thank you.